Well, I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about how you approach your enemies. It's kind of an interesting one. I'm sure most of you can start, already started to listen to people you can think of. Different things. That happens. And when I went to my first church as a senior pastor, I remember when the search committee interviewed me, and one guy kept talking about some stuff I really didn't understand the relevance of it. And then when I went to the church as their pastor, I discovered that they had had a few issues over the years. And it turns out about every 4 years, I talked to a missionary who told me that ever since he was being supported by them, every 4 years when he came home from Africa, there was always an issue. And he said, "Who are the people?" I said, "Well, oh," and then he named them. I said, every year it's the same people. So as a pastor, you know you're going to have people who don't like you. I know you know me. You're just saying that for attention. Once I knew who they were, I was okay, because when you know who's shooting at you, you always know, where to wear the belt, where the vest. But the interesting thing, though, is my concern was at different times I was going to have to, respond to these people. And I was really worried, not for me, but for their families. So they had families who might have been borderline when it comes to the faith. And I was concerned. Some of them had teenagers who came to my youth group. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to say something, or I don't want to do something that's going to hurt that. And the Lord just kind of, I prayed to God. I said, "God, get a little, normally I would just, you got to understand, sometimes I can be like Donald Trump. And I could have, even in these situations, because I had pretty well all the church on my side anyway. But I didn't do that. And when everything was over and the smoke cleared and when I was leaving the church a few years after a confrontation with them, I went to the home of the one family who were, he was the son of one of the people, and their two kids actually came to my youth group, and they said, "We just want you to know that Mom was wrong and you were right." And I thought, boy, am I ever glad you told me that. Because if I had known that earlier, I would have barbecued those people. I would have literally barbecued them. And that wouldn't honor God and make me look very good either. So anyway, we all face those kind of things. It's not just people. It could be anything, like, certain temptations seem to get to you, certain addictions that may affect you. There can be all sorts of things that Satan, because he's the enemy, throws in your way, hoping you will stumble and fall. So the question is, what do we do? What can we do to help us when these things come? Because you're all going to face them. If any of you don't have an enemy anywhere, well, that's, my goodness, come, I want to touch you. So we need to understand that, of course, Satan is the great enemy. And we know that today it's the world, the flesh of the devil. Now, Israel, had been up and down. God had promised them, I'm going to do things, as long as you obey me and do what I ask you to do, then I will give you the land. that I promised to your fathers. But he said, when you get the land, don't go around thinking it's because we're good people. It's because we're just God's, you know, precious anointed. He said, no, it's because they are a wicked, wicked nation. And there are a number of them that will come and try to destroy you. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, as I said, God gave Abraham this great, great promise. He says, if you live the way the Lord wants, he will help you take the land. And even though the nations there are more powerful than you, the Lord will force them to leave when you attack. You will capture the land everywhere you go, from the southern desert to the Lebanon mountains, from the Euphrates River west to the Mediterranean Sea. And God keeps his word. God keeps his promise. And when he promised that. Now, when we bring it up to our, to us, you know, to kind of maybe times closer to us, you know, the Apostle John wrote, the world offers only a craving for physical pleasures, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. So we don't necessarily see enemies as Israel did, coming at them with chariots and archers and spears. And he said, no, Satan comes at us now with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, there was a church, I won't say where, but the pastor had to leave under difficult circumstances. Huge church. They had better TV equipment for their TV program than CTV did. They're supposed to have the biggest screen in Canada. But anyway, that was a big thing, this big screen. But yet here was a church that was in turmoil. Because God didn't care about these things. He didn't take pride in, oh, look at my church has a big screen. Look, everybody. You know, God didn't do that. So when I looked at the life of David, give me some help. I found that David did several things to help him be able to defeat his enemies. I want to share those with you this morning, with the time we have together. The first secret that David had, and he tells us, is to live according to God's will for your life. Learn to God's will for your life. You know, it's really kind of interesting, isn't it? We have this idea that unless you're doing something on the stage, or whether you're speaking or singing or whatever it is, you know, that's what's important. And often throughout in my career as a pastor, there are two things that have really bothered me. First, somebody gets up and says, oh, we're just from a small church. Boy, that bugs me. It really bugs me, because in God's eyes, there's no small church. You know, I mean, we're here as a church. Why? Because God put us here. And we are his representatives here. And when you serve him, people, you don't say, well, I'm just you know, well, I'm on the music team. Well, I'll never be on the music team. I can tell you right now, I'll never be on the music team. I had a nursery send up a memo to me, and they used to play sermons down to the nursery, and the nursery kids were asking me to please shut off the sound. That's embarrassing. that funny, you know. I got feelings. So I can't sing. I'll tell you that right now, don't buy my album. I can preach okay. You know, there are others who can't preach either. But you're not just a... You know, years ago, I was emceeing at a wedding reception. And it was a buffet. I love buffets at weddings. Number one, because I don't have to pay for it. But anyway, I was kind of the last guy up, you know, because of what I was doing. And I went up, and this young guy was there, and a young chef, and he was in charge of the roast beef. You always be nice to the guy in charge of the roast beef. And as I'm there, you know, he said, you know, boy, I wish I could speak like you. I said, you're kidding. He says, you know what I want? I want to be able to cook like you. Really? I said, yeah, I'm here. And the knife went over a little bit. But it's true, though. You know, it's true. I mean, really, yeah, I think of our own church here. Well, I'm not the pastor. Some ladies took my seat today, but I go. They must be new or something. Don't look back. You know, there's so many people. You know, when I come in, who opens the door so we can get in with our food? Roy. Where's Roy? Yeah, good man. Yeah, give him a hand. Keep doing this, I won't have to preach. Then I walk in and somebody says hi to me as I come in. Now sometimes it's Big Ron, but he's usually down the hall in security, you know, watching the people who come in that front door. But as I come in, Sam is here thinking of my name. He gives me a bulletin. You know, when I come and sit down, I can hear Mark getting things ready in the kitchen. Thank you, Mark. Yeah. What are they doing? You can get another pastor, but you can't get another guy in the kitchen. And all I'm saying is, when we think of our lives, you know, live your life according to God's will for your life. What does God really want you to do? Is that don't be competitive. Just be proud of the fact, and happy with the fact that God does want you to do something. And whatever it is, it's important to God, and that's what matters. So David lived his life according to God's will for his life. He admitted, he came before God, and he said, "Well, I was just a little old shepherd boy, and you brought me in, and you know, helped me kill Goliath, and you know, and you brought me here to where I am now." He understood that. He gave God the credit for it. The second thing that David did is he believed the promises that God had given him. You know, in 2 Samuel 7, God said, "I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past. Starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a host for you, a dynasty for kings." This whole thing started when David was sitting, things were kind of peaceful, there was nothing really going on, and David started to think, "Hey, you know what? Why do I have God in a tent, and I live in a beautiful palace?" And then he wanted to immediately go and, you know, build a, you know, he went to Nathan the prophet, "Oh yeah, you go ahead, David, do what you feel best." And then Nathan went and talked to God, and God says, "No, that's not what I want, Nathan. Go back and tell him that he's not going to do it. He can design it, he can pay for it, but he's not going to build it. Because he's a man of blood." So, but when God made the promise, they believe the promise. You know, we have to learn to understand that God promises us will always be with you. He says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. When you go to witness, he says, when you step out, you know, the Holy Spirit will be with you and will empower you. You know, we will give you victory over the temptations that you have. You have to learn to believe the promises God has given to you. You need to trust God to deliver on his promises. The third thing that David did, and he tells us, is we need to learn to spend time with God. Now, you know, again, when we go back to chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, you know, we read the fact that David went back and took his place before God and prayed. He went and he spent time listening and praying to God. We do that sometimes when we're in trouble or when something bad hits us. Like, you know, usually as a pastor, I can always tell when somebody was going through a difficult time because they seem to get a little more religious. It does happen. We all do it. I do it too. The point is, we should always make a habit of spending time with God in his word and listening to him so that he can tell us, you know, what we need to hear, what we need to know, what we need to do. Because that's what God does and that's what God wants for us. Spend time with God. Also, we should be willing to act on the promises of God, to, you know, his accomplishments and victories. They don't always come instantly. You know, in fact, we read in the course of time, you know, in time. We live in a society today that wants things instantly, don't we? We want things really quick, fast. And we pray, you know, we kind of think of God as a fast food restaurant. You know, oh Lord, can I have one? You got it now. You know. Or if you order how many of you have ordered from a China 8? Okay, now you keep your hands down. This is not a test. But anyway, when we phone China 8, or we order, if you dare not go to Side Street Pizza, you order a pizza from Hanover, and what do they tell you? It'll be ready in 20 minutes, right? And you see, that's about the time it takes, at least from my house, to get there. It's about 20 minutes. Great. When it's done, I'll be right there. That's how we think. But God doesn't always work that way. And we need to be willing just to trust God, to give things to God, to trust him, that when we, you know, when it's the right time, and God knows it's the right time, he will act. He will do what he needs to do, you know, to help us. The other thing we need to do, the fifth thing that David did, is you have to learn to act with God's help and with his strength. You see, you just can't sit there and say, oh, Lord, help me, you know, with this, or help me with that, or, and then you know, sit there, and all of a sudden there's a bolt of lightning, and I'm better now. I'm preaching with hearing aids right now. This is my first time. My hearing aids come out. You know. And I'm not really big on hearing aids. These are not expensive hearing aids. Some of you have expensive hearing aids. I don't. It would be nice if suddenly there'd be like a flash. And I wouldn't need my hearing aids anymore, and they would just pop out. They might pop out because they're not in very well. But, you know, and I saw you like, here, I've heard of that happening. In fact, years ago, I used to work at the Christian Service Brigade camp, Camp Kakika, and I helped get it actually opened up. A little later, I was talking to a guy, and he was telling me they had these kids from the inner city up. And they were learning to water ski. And this one little kid, you know, he's deaf. but he's up on the skis and they're zipping around with him, and he comes in, and he wasn't in the right spot, and he ran into the diving board. No, no, hey, he got his hearing. I'm serious. He said he could hear. Oh man, you know, you tell that to Ernest Ainsley, you know, like, I was going to start a ministry. Then I thought, oh, the lawsuits would probably, you know. Sometimes these things happen. These things do happen. You know, God, you know, God's got a bit of a sense of humor. But the point is, when we act, we do so you know, with God's help and His strength. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when I see here that verse, how many of you watch MMA fighting? Don't put your hands up. You're with Andy, Lord. There are some Christians. Now, it's brutal. Right? I mean, it's brutal. And the women are almost as bad as the men. Like, I wouldn't want to date a woman who is MMA. If she ever got mad at me, she'd kill me. You know? I've been in a fright world already. But the thing is that they get up and they use this verse as a testimony. And sometimes you will have football players, you know, will be interviewed after a game or even a championship. And, you know, they'll say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, we say, oh, you know, but the point is, you know, they mean it. You know, they're just still hyped up from the game. Like, you don't understand. I've talked to some professional players, and they'll say, you know, you'll meet a guy normally during the week, you know, and he's just a calm, you know, relaxed, shy type of person. Then he puts on a football uniform, and he's a maniac. And he goes out and plays. Well, when they come back and they give this little testimony, they're in the maniac mode. But they're still willing to tell people. And so we have to learn to act with God's help, knowing that He's going to help us. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul also says that temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. You see, God does help us when we're facing our enemies, and to help us know just what to do. And I'm thankful in my circumstance then that God did help me. Now, David did go out. And in fact, we're told that he went in every direction. He went to the west, where the Philistines were their perennial enemies. Remember, they're always fighting with the Philistines. Like every spring, you know, we had the Philistine games type of thing. You know, they were always fighting, always, and they were brutal. For 125 years, they were always going through this. And they were the first, you know, to get looked after. And even David even captured all their cities. He captured their key garrisons, and he set up different posts with his army to make sure that the Philistines never attacked them again. You don't hear much about Philistines anymore. To the east, he defeated the Moabites. The Moabites were descendants of Lot through incest. And David's great-grandmother, Ruth, remember, was a Moabitess. And some were spared, and they became servants, others were put to death. To the north, he defeated the Arabians of Damascus. Now, these guys had 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen, and David defeated them. And then to the south, David defeated the Edomites, who were the descendants of Esau. And some may say that there was a lot of blood taking place. When you read the thing, it's almost like the book of Judges. You know, I wouldn't read the book of Judges to your grandchild. you know, it's a bedtime story. Judges is a very brutal book. It's an important book, but it just shows the brutality of the people. Now, when you see that, and you understand that, when you hear some of the brutal things you hear happening, especially in the Middle East today, it shouldn't surprise you. It's part of the nature. God was able to defeat them, and David was supposed to come, and he did that because God told him he would. Now, we need to remember a couple of things. First of all, we need to learn to give glory to God. Give glory to God. All that he's done. You know, David dedicated all the gifts he got from all the different kings, and the gold and the silver, and he gave them to the Lord, and they were kept and they were used to pay for the temple. You know, we often hear people, you know, say when receiving an award, I want to thank God. And sometimes, you know, it's genuine. Other times, especially those Hollywood ones, you know, they're like, I think they just say that just, you know, because you're supposed to say it. Although they're not doing that. That's not woke anymore. So, you know, but they don't do that. All I'm saying is give glory to God for all your accomplishments. You know, for what he's done for you. I mean, you know, people ask us, how did you get up to Chester? And I don't know, I was in the days, I think, when I bought that house. But, you know, I said, God brought us up here. God allowed us to sell our townhouse in Burlington for a killing. I'm not going to tell you how much, but let's just say we were happy. And we could move into that house retired, debt free, with some money left over. So, you know, I tell people, well, God did that for us. You know, when I went through, you know, my little holiday at Hamilton General, you know, I thank God, you know, for doctors who knew what they were doing, although you wonder when your doctor goes off to New Zealand after the operation. I'm out of here, I'm catching a plane, but at the same time, you give glory to God. It gives you, when you can defeat your enemies, whatever they might be, you can give glory to God. The seventh and last thing that David did, and we need to be ready and prepared for a repeat attack from the enemy. There are some places where David placed a garrison. And he placed his army around just to make sure. But he knew just in case, I want to be ready. You know, sometimes we get really relaxed, you know, and think, well, they're going to be okay now. They've done, you know. But no, they're not. You've got to be careful. Because, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, be on your guard and stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion sneaking around to find someone to attack. You know, folks, as you defeat your enemies, as God enables you to defeat your enemies, whatever they might be, whether it's individuals who you have to deal with, or whether it's other issues, habits and things like this. You know, it could be temper, it could be pornography, just anything. You know, when God helps you to defeat that, don't think Satan's gonna stop. He's not going to stop until Jesus takes over everything. So we need to remember that. So now what about us? You know, David did all these nice things. What about us? What about you? You know, what about me? You know, we always have somebody, some enemies, you know, we're, you know, fighting. And, you know. the thing that we need to understand is it's easier if you let God do it. One by one, God will empower you to defeat your enemies. Christ has already defeated the enemy for you. A lot of us are so busy playing in overtime when the game's over. What are you playing for? The game's over. The bell just rang. The whistle just blew. It's over. But we need to learn to allow God to defeat our enemies as He uses us. But to trust Him. In Hebrews 10, we read, "But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and there he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. And for by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy." And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:15, "But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is nothing you can say, "Oh, there's nothing I can do about this. I really want to stop this, or I really want to change this, or, and there's nothing I can do." Yes, there is. See, the problem that you're telling me there's nothing you can do tells me that you're not ready to let God change you yet. Let God change you. Turn it over to Him. And then finally, in 1 John 5, he says, "Every child of God can defeat the world, and our faith is what gives us this victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God." If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, invite Him into your life. If you believe that Jesus came and He died on the cross for our sins, that He rose from the grave, and He's in heaven and coming back again. You are a child of God, and He can defeat the world if you just open up your heart and let Him. Let Him. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, then you need to do that. I hate to tell you, but until you